It's The Playbook with Satyar Shah and John Jang on Sportsnet 650.
Judd Brackett, Vancouver Canucks Director of Amateur Scouting. First of all, Happy New Year, Judd, and thanks for joining us here on Sportsnet 650.
Happy New Year to you guys as well. It's a pleasure to be on.
Hey, we're really glad to chat with you because, you know, at this stage of the team, considering where you are in the cycle of this organization, the young players, future Canucks, and the ones who are performing on the team right now are the players fans are most excited about. And the one, of course, we've been most excited about all season has been Brock Besser and what he's doing. Did you ever think, when you were scouting him a few years back, that he would have this sort of an impact as a 20-year-old rookie?
I mean, it's certainly easy to say, you know, you want to say yes. Obviously, we had a lot we liked about Brock as a 17-year-old, as a group, and, you know, we certainly thought he would have success, maybe not as early as he's having it, but Brock has proven over time to, you know, even right going into North Dakota as a freshman and scoring right from the get-go there, winning a national championship. He's got special qualities about him, not just as a player, but as a person, and it's translating, you know, on a daily basis already at Vancouver.
And the thing is, you guys have been able to identify a lot of talented players at the college level, whether it's William Lockwood, Adam Gaudette, Thatcher Demko, or Brock Besser. Do you feel like the NCAA, not that it's a market inefficiency with how it's been scouted, but do you think that there's more talent in the NCAA than maybe some people believe there is?
I wouldn't say that there's more than people think there is. I mean, there are players you know, throughout the league from, you know, that took the NCAA path. But, you know, there's players from Canada, there's players from, you know, a lot of players from Europe coming over and playing in the U.S. League now, too, and choosing college. It's just a different route. It buys you a bit more time. So the maturation process, you know, physically gives you a little more time in the gym and maybe less rigors of travel. And, you know, the CHL sort of mirrors more of a pro-style schedule. So it's sort of, you know, there's two ways to skin a cat, and the NCAA has proven to be very valuable in developing players, but it's not one better than the other or less heralded. It's just another opportunity.
Judd, since we're talking NCAA, how confident are you that the Vancouver Canucks can sign Adam Gaudette at some point this year and maybe avoid that situation where he goes back for his fourth and potentially lose him as a free agent?
Yeah, I feel confident. It's not something that I necessarily deal with, but I know Adam a bit. He's a Mass resident and someone that, you know, it's where I'm from too. So I know anytime I've talked with him and when our, you know, development staff has, that he's very excited about, you know, beginning a pro career. So I think that's, you know, a safe bet, but, you know, other things have happened before. But I think Adam's excited to be a Canuck.
Now, obviously, the other bright spot for the Canucks' future, aside from Brock Besser, is Elias Pettersson. What he's doing in Sweden right now, the hype surrounding him is really unprecedented. How confident are you that Pettersson can come here sooner rather than later and translate some of that success here in North America with this team?
Elias still has to go through the process, too. It's well documented in terms of, you know, his weight and physicality. You know, obviously, as a player, you know, from skill and sense and that standpoint, he's been outstanding but time will tell. He's obviously still needs to get stronger. He's playing on the wing right now and in the SHL and there's some, you know, some of the rigors of playing in the National Hockey League and the physicality in the face-off circle and down low defensively, things of that nature. He's still going to have to go through the process, but, you know, he certainly looks like he's accelerated his timeline as well.
Hey, yeah, Judd, you mentioned that he's been playing the wing mostly, and he did the same thing for Sweden at the World Juniors. Do you still feel confident that he can project as a center down the road for your Canucks in a couple of years?
I do. I still see the strength of his game being his hockey sense and awareness. He sees the ice really well, distributes puck. I think right now it's helpful for him at times to maybe be, to get passes off the wall and then maybe get to the middle of the ice. But he still brings a centerman's view and playmaking ability, his compete in 200-foot game is still there. So, you know, all the signs are still pointing towards that he could develop into the center that we see him as.
You just mentioned the fact that he competes really hard, and that's one thing that stood out to me just trying to watch some of the Swedish Hockey League games and, of course, down to juniors. For a guy who's slight, he's not afraid at all to go to the net and win those battles along the boards. That must be really encouraging.
He really is. There's no fear factor for him. He certainly, you know, even at the weight he's at, he's always been able to play a bit heavier in terms of his leverage and ability to protect the puck. And, you know, yes, he does get bumped around at times, but I see him getting stronger and being able to hold his ground as time goes. But his compete level is really good. He's always coming back, you know, hard in the back check. He's a full two-way player and plays a full 200-foot game.
We're talking to Judd Brackett, the director of amateur scouting with the Vancouver Canucks, here on The Playbook with John and Sat. Judd, Olli Juolevi had himself a very strong tournament at the World Juniors in Buffalo, saw him score a goal, put up a decent number of points, even though Finland got eliminated a little bit earlier than they had hoped. What do you think, personally, is the timeline for Juolevi to become a full member of this team?
Well, and timeline, it's certainly hard to tell. I think this year has been very good for his growth and development. As you saw with him coming over here, obviously his ability to read the game has always been a strength of his, but you've seen him do things a bit quicker, a bit firmer. In some respects, you can tell that he's been playing with men that maybe want the puck sooner. So it's accelerated his decision-making process and made him move a bit quicker, which has been good for his development.
One of his teammates there on the same club, learning under Sammy Salo, Petrus Palmu, a late-round gem, if you will, considering that he's leading all rookies in scoring in the SM Liga. What did you see in Petrus Palmu? I mean, the guy is undersized, but obviously doing quite well for himself professionally.
He is. He's certainly, when you look at him at the roster and you see the height, it's sort of something that draws your attention immediately. But Petrus always played a really competitive two-way game, smart. And we've talked about it before that, despite the height, he's actually a very stocky, strong build. So he has a really low center of gravity, so he's able to play in amongst bigger bodies. He's had a really quick assimilation into the Liga, and knowing him a bit as a person too, I'm not surprised. He's a high character kid.
Before we come back to North America, Jonathan Dahlin in Timrå has been having another spectacular season in the Allsvenskan, and I guess his future is still uncertain. He may end up in the Swedish Hockey League over the next few weeks here. But how encouraged are you by his progress, and do you think that it won't be too long before we see him give the NHL or at least the AHL another go next season?
Yes, obviously his development is very encouraging. He's scoring. He's sort of the guy that's the driver there on the line. With two younger players that are both draft eligible this year, but it's really encouraging. I know he came over this year at the beginning of the year, and the bout with Mono obviously was bad timing in terms of getting his feet going, get going. So I think we'll see him over here next year and starting in his pro career in North America.
A prospect who was at the World Juniors but got injured was William Lockwood, and we've heard that he could be out 6 to 9 months with that injury. What's the latest on his situation, and how much can this hurt his development, or at least could it delay sort of his timeline when it comes to playing in Michigan for a few or more years? Where is William Lockwood at right now?
You never like to see anyone get hurt. Mm-hmm. Our prospect or anyone else's, but William is a guy that, from our organization standpoint is something that we need. He brings a lot of speed, energy. We knew going in that, he always played bigger than he was and played a physical game, and that's part of what makes him successful. But right now the body isn't able to hold up maybe against some of the bigger and stronger guys and the way he's playing. And you don't want to see him change his game or alter it, because that's what's made him successful. But for him, it's just going to be a bit of time so that his body can get stronger and that he can hold up and play the game that we're used to, a big, robust game in a smaller body.
The one player you guys drafted this past season in the fourth round, defenseman Jack Rathbone, who you are very familiar with, he's not going to play in the NCAA till next year with Harvard. What has he been doing so far this year? I know he's been playing in the USHS and the MHSL, but where is his game at, and could he be one of those hidden gems in this organization?
We certainly hope so. Jack is another real high character kid. He's going to Harvard next year, but he had only finished his junior year of high school last year. So he has a year of high school left. And so this fall he played with the U18 midget team, the Cape Cod Whalers, which actually will be playing for a national championship in April. So even when his high school season's over, he'll switch gears and go back and play with the Cape Cod Whalers, which is a nice opportunity for him. And right now he's back at the Dexter School really strong skater, acceleration, speed, gets involved in the offense right now. Obviously, it's going to be a bit of a transition for him next year. It's a pretty big jump going straight from high school into college, but, you know, we felt in talking with Jack that he's going to be mature enough and do the things away from the rink to be ready.
Jonah Gajewicz celebrating a gold medal, and I think I've heard the words man-child like 100 different times over the past several weeks. His maturity and character keeps being brought up because they are impressive. He's a young guy, and he's shown that he's got a real good head on his shoulders. I believe also heading into the tournament, he was averaging like 5.5 shots on net with Owen Sound. Assuming all goes well, what is the ceiling and the future role for a guy like him in the NHL?
Well, I think to your first point, when we talk about Jonah and his character, I think, you know, for those that maybe saw him last year, the improvements in his skating are already very evident, which is something, you know, that we spoke about last year and that he was aware of. But he's a really determined kid, and when he puts his mind to things, he can improve and get better. And we see that in all aspects of his game, but particularly his skating. But, you know, he's a guy that's going to be a hard commodity to find, with the big body, the net front presence, and, you know, he sticks up for teammates. He makes room for others. Like he's just a hard guy to find, and probably a player that a lot of teams will want to have.
Judd, the organization does have a need for more young defensemen and young centers, if we're just looking at what you guys are lacking in terms of prime prospects. But what is the approach for you and this team at the draft? Do you facilitate drafting the best player available, no matter the position? Or is there a clear intent in addressing these organizational needs first?
I think we talk about it, you know, each year is maybe a little bit different. But we are always very open about it as a group and talking about it. You know, we certainly feel early in the draft, like, you know, you got the best available is hard to ignore, even when there's a need, because, you know, we are still talking about 17, 18-year-old players, and the landscape of your team may be different by the time they arrive. So, you know, it's something we talk about, you know, each year, and maybe as we have some more depth, organizational depth, maybe needs change or philosophies change. But right now, I think it's important that we continue to talk about it, but it's always hard to pass on best available.
We're in conversation with Judd Brackett, Director of Amateur Scouting for the Canucks here on Sportsnet 650. When it comes to, you know, focusing on the defense, it's no secret that is the big organizational need. I know Ole Levy's coming, and there's a couple other prospects you guys have cooking down in Utica. But if you look at the one major need this organization needs, would you say it is that point-scoring, power-play type of quarterback on the defensive end?
Yeah, that's certainly fair. And, you know, and saying that too, it's sometimes the hardest thing to find. You know, their power play defenseman is a coveted skill set that, you know, that isn't always there in every draft. So, or when you're picking. So it's and I think that's why it is as demanding as it is and such a need. But I would agree.
Well, and that's sort of an interesting thing, right? Because it's really easy for us to sit here and say, yeah, find that power play quarterback. And the reality is, if you do end up drafting somebody, let's just say it's not Rasmus Dahlin first overall, that player is most likely going to take time. So when it comes to trying to find that next offensive defenseman, there's more work to do than just the draft, right?
Absolutely. And then, you know, and that's why it's important for us as scouts to dig in on character and other things that are going to drive these players to their, you know, if it's going to take 3 and 4 years, you know, are they going to be determined enough to put the work in? And, you know, so it's not just what we see on the ice, but we have to know the players as well.
I know you don't want to be picking high because it means the team's not doing well, but if you do you feel like this year, the 2018 draft class, will be top heavy?
I do. I think it's a good class. At the top, there are certainly some players that's sort of the game breaker variety, if you will. But you know, there's players in every draft, and do your homework and really dig in, you know, you can find players. So each draft is unique, and it gives us a chance to kind of reboot every year, which is exciting, and look at a new crop of players.
We're talking exclusively with Judd Brackett here on Sportsnet 650. He is the Director of Amateur Scouting with the Vancouver Canucks. Judd, can you talk about working alongside a general manager whose previous reputation and area of expertise was right in your wheelhouse and your department with amateur scouting? Can you give us a peek into that particular relationship?
Yeah, absolutely. I actually had no prior working relationship with Jim. I obviously, as a scout and from, you know, from Massachusetts myself, I had, you know, great respect for Jim and heard a lot about, you know, scouting and his ability to scout. So as soon as, you know, as soon as he came here, I've been all ears, and he's got a tremendous wealth of knowledge and shares it with me. And you know, we talk players, and you know, I know he enjoys getting on the road and seeing them as well when he can.
Would you say, and I know you talk a bit about how every draft you approach things a little bit differently, but considering your timeline with Jim and sort of how you guys have been progressing through draft and draft, how much has the way you evaluate or, let's say, look for prospects, has that changed at all over the past few years, how you approach each draft?
Yeah, I mean, it's very important. I mean, things that you know, maybe Jim or you know, some even feedback that he's getting now from Travis Green is coaching, and maybe trends that we're seeing in the league or, you know, directions, you know, that we're seeing might be applicable for how we look at players and how they're going to develop and fit in the future. So, you know, it is always a changing landscape, and, you know, we have to communicate on it and talk all the time so that we're, you know, that we're out looking for, you know, what they want and what's going to be happening in the future with the Vancouver Canucks.
Well, and that's interesting, right? Because it just seems like year by year, the game gets played a little bit differently. I know the game is so overcoached, whether it's overcoached or not, it depends on your view on it. But because of sort of how the game is played, how important it is for every single player, even if you're offensively gifted, to understand the team systems, like how much of that goes into scouting now, where you look at how smart is a player in terms of fitting into a particular system, or at least playing the way the game is trending?
Yeah, and I don't think you want to, you know, pigeonhole a player to say so speak that they can fit into a system, because systems change. They might change, you know, from opponent to opponent or year to year, but more, you know, does this player are they coachable in general? Do they have hockey sense and awareness to read and react? You know, if we make changes on the fly, those types of things, more so than to say, okay, this guy is definitely, you know, going to fit our system and going to be able to play, because, you know, it's just, you know, we're still talking 3 and 4 and, you know, sometimes more years away from in development. And some of these guys, the strengths of their games may, you know, may not keep coming, or other elements may push them forward and push them into being a different type of player than you projected. So it's hard to really, you know, it's not so much a draft and plug right into your lineup as maybe the NFL or some other professional sports. So, you know, there's more projection, and because of that, we have to keep talking about, you know, where we see our team going and in the future, and how what types of players we want to have fit in.
Judd, I'm sure some of our listeners right now are wondering, why is nobody asking about Cole Lynn? So let's get straight to it. Man, this guy with the Kelowna Rockets having an incredible season, despite the fact that he was left off Team Canada's roster, 52 points, 31 games. He's playing more of a winger, but do you think that he could transition into a center down the road?
I see Cole on the wing, but that doesn't say he couldn't. He certainly is brings the hockey sense and the awareness, puck distribution. He obviously can shoot as well. I think he plays a bit of a grittier game along the wall in terms of just physically rubbing up against bodies, and I think that helps his game. But he could, you know, it's not to say he wouldn't, but I see him on the wing, and he's having a terrific year, obviously, as you pointed out.
Sportsnet 650.